Father, on this blessed and holy night, we ask you to send your Spirit down into this place and in our hearts, that we would see Jesus anew, and it would change us. We ask this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I love a good Christmas pageant. Don't you? There's in Los Angeles, in Southern California, where my wife and I are from, in Los Angeles, there's this place called, what used to be called, the Crystal Cathedral. And it's this big, humongous church where the radio preacher Robert Schuller used to have a ministry there. And it's massive. It seats over 3,000. All the walls are glass. And even behind the platform in the back, the walls can open up to where you'd be sitting inside the sanctuary and looking out to the sky. And they did that a lot because in Southern California you can do that because the weather's actually really nice and they don't have mosquitoes. But that's another thing. And every year at Christmas and Easter, they would put on a pageant. And in this place, they would pull out all the stops. I mean, they had live animals. They had angels flying in on wires. And they did it like, I don't know how many different times, but it was magnificent. I've only been there once or twice, but the thing is, that's not the type of pageant I'm talking about. You know, I like the little pageant, right? How can we get like all the little kids together? And you have like a Joseph that's about this high, you know, and a Mary that's about this high. And you got kids. There's a pageant a few years ago where one or more of my kids at the cathedral were dressed up like sheep, right? It was like Christmas postcard material. I love that, and I especially love like the littlest ones that are dressed in white as an angel. And they've got the little wings on their back and a little golden halo, you know? I love that. The problem is, as cute as that is, what happened on that night is almost opposite of that picture. There was nothing sweet about the birth of Christ. There's nothing idyllic. Silent night. Holy night. It was a holy night. But the world wasn't holy. People were in bondage. They were in darkness. They were in pain. And the thing is, Jesus came into a world a lot like ours today, in only worse. There was political corruption was rampant. The poor were either taken advantage of or just forgotten. And people were oppressed. And most simply struggled to stay alive. There were bitter feuds, but the bitter feuds were kept in check by oppressive rule by a foreign nation. The world was broken. And in Israel, God's own people had been under the boot of one nation after another for over 1,000 years. Today it was Rome. But tomorrow, who knows? You see, it wasn't supposed to be like this. I mean, it was the promised land, after all. And what they needed, what they desperately needed, was a savior. There had been prophecies of a new king. Years, thousands of years prior, The prophets talked about a king that would come, a king like David, who would be a powerful ruler like David was. And everyone knew the stories of David. They knew how he conquered the promised land. They knew how he brought all the tribes together. It was David, after all, that established Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It was David that brought peace to the land. And they needed another David to come and save them. But see, not only was it socially oppressive, not only was it politically oppressive, not only was life just hard, it was also a time of intense spiritual darkness. Because see, at this time, in the whole world, there were not many faithful. There were not many people who trusted in God. There were not many people who followed. And so consequently, the corruption and the evil were signs of something darker and more sinister. It was a different kind of bondage because the world was under the power of a different ruler, a spiritual ruler, an evil ruler. The world was under the power of Satan himself. More than a king that would lead them into a battle against Rome, what they really needed was a king that would battle this oppressor. They who had waited and walked in darkness needed someone to bring them into the light. Those who had lived so long in the land of deep darkness needed someone to come and shine God's light upon them. Some of them who would save them from the rod of their oppressor. Someone who would release them from the yoke of their bondage. What they needed so desperately was someone just like what was described by Isaiah in chapter 9. And no one suspected a baby in a manger, let alone a bunch of shepherds. But then an angel appeared to them and declares, "Good news of great joys! To you is born this day a Savior who is Messiah, the Lord." Well, here is another area where I think we need to adjust our thinking a little bit. Because there's a problem with the word Savior. It's come to mean something today that's a little different than what the angels declared on that fateful night. It's not the word Savior how Christians normally use this word. And if you're a believer, chances are good that you read this passage as a person who would go to the cross and who will save individuals like you and like me. And while this is absolutely true about what Jesus does, this is not the type of Savior that is being declared by the angels. The word Savior here does not describe one who pays the ultimate price for a people, but it's the word for one who goes to battle, to fight for, and to save his people. It refers to a mighty king, to a warrior who comes to rescue and protect. This is exactly what's being described in Isaiah chapter 9. So when the Messiah comes, he will go to battle for his people. He will remove the yoke and the rod of the oppressor. He comes with all authority on earth, and he is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These four titles are very specific titles that we have to understand in their Old Testament context. These are military terms. This is not that someone that you go down and share your burdens with and unload your stuff and leave. The mighty counselor is a great military strategist. One who knows how to defeat the enemy in the field. Mighty God is the king himself who gets out in front of the army and personally leads the attack against the foes. Everlasting Father is a royal father. He's the king who establishes his reign for eternity. And the Prince of Peace describes the one who brings peace beyond measure for all creation. These terms describe a king who goes to battle for you. He comes not as a pacifist. He comes as a warrior who goes to battle for his people to free them from their oppression. And he wins. Don't be fooled by the rags and the manger. A king has come. And it's at this point that the heavens absolutely erupt. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to the God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." This is another scene in this story that we get a little wrong with the little cherubs. I mean, the little 3-year-old angels, the cherubs, are cute. I love them. God bless them. I love them. I think it's a great thing. But that doesn't convey what really happened. And Linus does a great job of telling the Christmas story, but it doesn't come close. And even Handel, in his wonderful Messiah, he gets closer with that strident cadence. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the high. It's close, but not quite. These angels are described as a host. And that host is a term for the armies of God. It's a biblical term. When the angels come and declare, these are God's warriors. It's the Messiah's army that comes. And the angels aren't singing. Did you catch that? We always sing, glory to God in the... That's not what the text says. They're saying, and it's a specific word, because what they're saying is glory to God in the highest. 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 And peace on those whom he favors. They have come and they are ready for war. This is a war chant. This is how peace comes to all those he favors. Peace from oppression. Peace from the storms of evil. Peace from our brokenness. Peace from the hate. Peace comes because Jesus came to earth to go to battle for you. For you. For you. And for me. He fights the battle that we cannot fight. And sometimes we try, but there's no way that we can win it. There's only one who can win. Because he comes to crush our greatest enemy. He comes to crush the hater of our souls. Christ comes to earth to vanquish forever the one who holds us captive. And his triumph is sure. It's certain because he is the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He comes to bring peace. This is what the story of Christmas is all about. This is what we have been anticipating. This is what Advent has been pointing towards. Jesus, our King, has arrived. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I am guessing that there are probably many of us here tonight who are just exhausted. I know I am. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I mean, it takes a lot to get to Christmas morning, let alone Christmas Eve. And you should try to preach two services. And if the pressures of the holidays aren't enough, most of us are carrying tremendous amount of burdens on our own. The burdens of our family, the burdens of our health, the burdens of lost loved ones. And the thing is, you probably already realize that the normal ways, the ways that we normally try to deal with life stress on our own, you probably already know that those ways just don't work. No matter how hard we try, they don't. The only hope for the brokenness and oppression of this life, the only hope for our personal trials and pains, the only hope for the problems of this whole world is Jesus, our warrior King. Because the world is broken. It's broken beyond fixing in our strength. But there is one who will come, who has come, and will return. And He will fix it for good, forever. Peace is promised to all upon whom God favors. He is the answer to our need for peace. Not our vices, not our superstitions, not our legalistic ways to try to make God happy. Those things don't work. True peace comes by coming to Christ and allowing Him to fight that battle for you. It's resting in Him to be the conqueror. You can't conquer in your own strength. Only He can do it. If you're here today and all of this sounds totally foreign, if this sounds like new news to you, you need to come to the Giver of Peace. You just do. If you're a believer and you've let the world come crashing in and rob you of your peace, cast your cares upon Him. He will carry them for you. He will go to battle for you. He does. And if tonight you are wondering if you are one of those upon whom God favors, come to Jesus and join the ranks of the hosts, the heavenly hosts, who are crying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom He favors." Amen.